Because the last week we spoke about Shimshon Pinkus' idea that we can look at any interaction that we have in general as a maisa mitzvah, so to speak, and any interaction we have at home as a maisa mitzvah. And he related it back to the Rabbeinu Shlomo was the one who created the first relationship, the first home. So it's keeping part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's into Ritzoin HaBoreh. And so this week's parsha has two insights that we can tap into and put into this larger framework. One is that with the Mesiras Nefesh of Shifra and Pua, of Mirim and Yocheved, says, Vahiki Yoram Yaldos Esalikim, Vayas Lehem Botim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they were saving Jewish children, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them homes, Yaslam Batim. So one is Batim Elucha, Batei Kuna. I think Rav Olmi writes, it's the only place in Chumash where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Koyveya the Schar, right there and then. And it could be that it's a consequence. Rav Olmi sees it in terms of the Sefer of Shmos. But it could be that it's a consequence, not so much a schar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that these women were singularly dedicated to the children, and they were taking care of the children. So that quality of being laser-focused on what the children need, so that is one of the great requirements of building a home. I sometimes wonder, and I'm not at all qualified to think this through, but something we have to think about very, very carefully is that are we successfully negotiating two income homes? In other words, is the home just the place where everybody meets, so to speak? Everybody has what they need, they have the place to eat and they sleep. And everybody sort of lands in the home, each from all the different things that we're doing, and that's a great value. Or do our children feel that the home is much more than that? That it's more than just everybody just happens to make their way back to. And that it's the place where their needs are taken care of. And do they feel that they are fully embraced with the warmth? Do they feel that they are the soul, the singular concern of their parents? In other words, in our minds, our children are. In our minds, everything we do to put together a parnasa is to make our children more comfortable. Question is, from the view of our children, that I don't think they necessarily see that everything that parents do for a parnasa is for them. So they see their parents as having, and again, it's a speculation, we can have the professionals weighing in this. The question from a child's perspective, do they see that? Or do they see that their parents have a job, they have a parnasa, so they have a life's passion, and they have another very, very, a more important life passion. The more important one is their children. But the Shifra and Pua were zochet to build batim because they sacrificed their lives. And the children grew up knowing that there were women who sacrificed their lives in order to be able to have these children. So that's an important insight that we have to think about very carefully. I was thinking that this past week, Yaakov says to Yosef, do for me a chesed v'emes. So Rashi has difficulty with what's chesed, either it's chesed or emes. Either Yosef does not owe it to his father to bring him to Mitzrayim, to bring him back to Eretz Yisrael, he's doing a chesed, or it's an emes, or Yosef to his father. How can you have it both ways? So Rashi drops the vav, said chesed shel emes. And it gives us the notion that there are chasodim that we do, knowing that these are good things to do, but they will create relationships, they are favors that we can call on later on. And there's a chesed shel emes, never call in a favor, right? Because he's in the Olam Emes. So this chesed has no payback, so it's pure. And I always wondered, is that really accurate? Because when we get involved in the chesed shel emes, so if we have every single levaya is should be a melitz yosher. So we don't think that we're done with this nifter. So was it really a chesed? Shalom say Rashi said. And similarly, there's the children. When the chevra kedisha goes in, the chevra kedisha are being enormously helpful to the children. So is it a chesed? Shalom said. I was wondering whether perhaps a chesed shalom means a chesed that's uniquely focused on the mace. Everybody wants, whoever is in the room when the person is nifter, all the decisions are made, what's going to give this mace greater cover? No one's thinking about how difficult it's going to be to get to fly to this place or that place. No. There's one laser focus. What's going to be the most cover for this person? And everything else takes a second step or third, not even significant. So I'm wondering if that's what a chesed shel emes means. A chesed shel emes means, Rashi says, no, it means a chesed without any payback. But I'm wondering with a more accurate idea of chesed shel emes means a laser-focused chesed where there's nothing else that's going on. And that's and that kind of chesed that happens inside one's home when it's laser-focused on doing things for each other in order to build a more peaceful and more pleasant and a home that Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy with. The Ramban writes, it's Ramban, it's a Ravid, and I think it's I saw it quoted in the name of the Ramchal also. Lo tov yosa odim levado esel eju kenegde. So we learn pshat, it's not good for a person to be alone, right? It's better for us to be together. So the Ramban seems to say, the Ravid says it, the Machal says it, means there cannot be good if a person's alone. A person cannot know what it means to do tov, because goodness means sharing goodness. And a person, goodness means being a meitiv, providing for others. So if there's nobody else for me to provide for, they can't. Lo tov, there is no tov when a person is alone. I've often mentioned before that that somebody once came, I think it was Rabbi Yerucham, and asked him what he thought about socialism. And he was expecting Rabbi Yerucham to say, it's fantastic, equality, there's no jealousy, there's no competition. And he said, he can't imagine. He can't imagine socialism being a valuable system, because if you don't have what to give to somebody else, how can you be a mensch? A person needs to be able to help other people. So the Ramban says that's the yesod of building a home. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Esle ezer kenegdai." The Ramban, I'm not sure the Ramban spells it out this way, the Ramchal, that Kadosh Baruch Hu made Adam and Chava, different ways of looking at the Chumash. But one nusach in the Chumash made Adam and Chava one body with two different faces. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu split that person into two. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said that if I wouldn't split that person, it wouldn't be Ezer Kenegdai. So that means Adam and Chava couldn't do good things for each other. Lo Tov, there cannot be goodness. They could have different minds. They could work off each other. They could argue things out. They could direct each other. They could almost all the values that two people have in terms of figuring things out, they could do if they're connected and have two heads. The one thing they couldn't do is they couldn't do something good for somebody else because there's only one person. So the idea is that one of the yesodos of a home is being able to do good things for other people, for one's wife, and for that being the sole focus and the primary focus of what's happening inside the house. That's what we pointed out several weeks ago. And Yaakov Avinu says that he loves Rachel and Leah, but Leah didn't feel that way. Leah felt that she was second, because a wife who feels second feels like a snua. So the goal of our activities inside our homes is to make husbands and wives to make each other feel that they are the sole goal, so to speak, of one's activities in providing for each other and taking care of each other. In this week's parsha, we have another very important insight, and that is that we mentioned usually how Leil Seder, we talk about Asher, Vayimorus Chayeim Ba'Avida Kosha, V'Chayim Elveinim, V'Chol Avida Besada, Es Kol Avida Samasher Ovdu Ben Beforech. All of everything that was done with a Beforech, in a way to break a person. HaMeforeches. So Chazal, one of the Chazals that explains this is that the Mitzrayim made men do women's work and made women do men's work. And that broke people. So the discussion, most of the kids come back to the little Seder with this idea, so that it would break a woman to do man's work that we get, because it's they're not built for heavy labor. But to give a man a woman's work, that's the Gaholic. So instead of schlepping backwards and forwards, anything, so we'll wash the dishes, we'll wash the floor. What's so bad about that? So the Chazal are explaining to us that if a person doesn't get satisfaction from the work that they're doing, that breaks a person. So to give a person work that doesn't fit, it's a mashal. It's a mashal that the Mitzvim figured out what kind of work fits for this person, and they would not give them that kind of work. They figured, what kind of work is going to make this person feel empty, vacant, and it could be the easiest thing. He could be spending his day with much greater physical ease, but the day's over, he's not going to feel that he accomplished. So Chazal are giving us the insight that what makes a man feel accomplished and what makes a woman feel accomplished are very significantly different. And one of the challenges of having a peaceful home is to appreciate that some of the things that gives one's wife satisfaction are things that not so important to us. But they become important to us because that's where our homes are going to be peaceful and happy. They become important to us because when we address them, so we are becoming more of a Baal Chesed, more of a Noisein. It becomes a Maisa Mitzvah that gives the Kadosh Baruch Hu great Nachas. So one of the examples that the various Sfarim give is usually the way that a... One I was very surprised. One is timeliness. I was very surprised to see that Rav Chaim, when I was looking at that this afternoon, that Rav Chaim Friedlander saw that. I remember growing up that my mother was always very, very anxious and nervous when my father would come home later than I was expected as a kid. I thought my mother was a very nervous, very anxious person, and always was extremely nervous if my father was on the road, and there weren't cell phones then, and came home very, very late. And always went to... So, and parents, we often do their kids. If their kids are on the road, so we don't want them to pick up the phone because we want them to drive. We do want to pick the phone because we want them to tell us. So we're caught a little bit. So we so often our minds go into difficult places. So I didn't realize that he thinks this is a tuna, this is a gender difference, that men don't get so nervous if their wives are late, and they don't get so nervous, but women get very nervous and anxious. He thinks it's a gender difference between men and women. So he says that's the kind of thing that's like an avodas parah kind of thing. For us, it's not a source of anxiety. It'll happen, it'll work out, it'll be okay. And for women, it's a source of anxiety, and therefore, when a husband is sensitive to that and keeps his wife informed and says where he is, and that's easier with cell phones, so that is the husband becoming more of a noisin, more of a bal chesed, more having things in his home than are focused on his wife. The other example that's often given, the yeshiva, again, I don't know how accurate that is about the home being organized. The classic example that's said in the yeshiva is the guy who's going through a sugya, and he pulls out Sfarim backwards on the table, and then he knows he's going to come back a few hours later and he's going to need the same Sfarim, but then he has to go out. So his wife is upset that it looks like a mess, and for him, that's not a mess. That is the way he's supposed to. When he gets back, he's going to need those Sfarim to put them back on the shelf, take them out again. He wasn't even sure which Sfarim he's going to pull out again. So he said that's a gender difference, that a woman takes pride in the way the home looks. Guys often don't have the same sense of pride. And for a guy to realize that's part of her avodah, part of what gives her satisfaction, part of what she invests herself in, and then to take the extra effort and say, okay, for me it's not so important, but for my wife this is an important thing to do. So it's a very little thing, but it's the way that one keeps oneself focused on, that this now becomes not just the maisa mitzvah of putting... this farm away becomes a maisa mitzvah of doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, to have a home that is more peaceful, doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that we should be lo tov v'yos am levado, that we can be more tov, we can be more good, we can become better people, we can be people who are more giving. So that's one of the... another suggestion he has is it's a little bit different, but it's very much part of the parsha, is that that women are, we know women are more intuitive in the Yisera, and that has a tremendous impact in faith. In other words, men are trained, and this is when we're trained, when we're learning sugyas, we're trained to analyze things. And we're trained to not to trust our intuition. A person learns a sugya, when a person wants to investigate something, so the worst thing is to have an intuition of where things are going to go, and then you end up not analyzing. So we're trained, and when we learn in our sugyas, when we analyze something, is to minimize our intuition. And I was just speaking with somebody the other day that had gone through, an older person had gone through several medical procedures, and everything came, medical tests. I came out very, very good in the end. So he said that we know this. He just described it, that as doctors have more and more tools and more ways of calibrating things, so they use the tools much more, and they use the overall intuition, get a big look at the look of things much less. So they become less able to evaluate things based on the overall look, and much more focused on what tools and what the test results say. So that's what makes me feel very nervous, because one has to go for all of these tests, and whereas it could be that doctors earlier were trained to have much more of an intuition. Now, that intuition, that sense, is don't trust it anymore. So the same thing is true with men and women. Men are trained not to trust our intuition, and we have to sort of learn it back again. And women are trained to go with their intuition. So in certain areas of life, it becomes very, very important. So, for example, in the Neshei Mitzrayim, so they were the great ma'aminim. So Rafilinda thinks that's one of the tuchunos, one of the gender differences, when if a husband then trains himself to be more appreciative of his wife's intuition, so then that'll have, besides becoming more focused on one's wife's concerns and being more respectful, it also will have this tremendous carryover of creating a home that just the emunah is stronger and greater, because the emunah will come from an intuitive and more natural place. So there's a few things to think about. The vayas lambotim, the laser focus, lo tov, yevodas perach, that there are, we do believe in gender differences, and we believe that if we don't respect gender differences, then that can become great difficulty. But if we do respect gender differences, even if it isn't a popular thing, it might not be a PC thing, but Kadosh Baruch Hu says there are gender differences, so then and we respect those and make those part of the way that we think things out, so then, as we said last week, every time we do that, we become more of a meitiv, and we are doing the Ritzein HaBorei in a very specific way.
Is it possible the idea of timelessness and organization and intuition, it's really all based on the idea of logic versus emotion? Timeliness, meaning logically, you can be a few minutes late, doesn't mean you're going to emotion. No, but I feel it could be in a crash. It's not logical. Same with organization. Persons, you said the sforim. Logically, I had them there. I'm coming back to them. Emotionally, but it's all messy. Look, I feel it's all messy. It's logic versus emotion. Is it possible that's the difference? Is it timeliness, organization, intuition, logic versus emotion?
I think the response can be an emotional response, but I think that I would think that the idea of Seder is not an emotional issue. It's that one of the things that gives a woman greater sense of pride is how the home looks. That's part of, she sees
messy,
part of her abode.
I feel unsettled when things are messy. And he's saying, I had them there, I'm coming back to them, it makes sense to leave them there.
Yeah, so that part I think is...
So maybe exactly. that's the common denominator amongst them all, you're saying it's not. I think that covers over
another important nakuda.
Well, the intuition thing, that's certainly an emotional thing. Intuition, I feel something.
No, I think, Lenny is the thing, intuition and emotion are separate. The emotion is an illogical response.
Uh-huh.
But intuition, I think, is...
based on something, based on some depth of understanding.
Yeah. That's the meaning you say. I don't think it's the... Mm-hmm.
Not
if anything, I think something that emotion can feed in to an intuitive response.
So his nakudos are actually more clarity.
I think they're separate. Yeah. Okay.